This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bi-week radio. What did Eric Wood say? Like, did he really mean that? He's like, you guys really have to work this week?
You guys have to keep doing what you... Yeah, right. That was basically it.
Yes, yeah. Eric. We're on all year, actually. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Right. You should hear it in the summer, Eric.
Yeah. I said, I haven't even gotten to it yet. I did buy an air fryer. I just have a guess you have had experience with an air fryer and have a lot of good advice for me. But I don't know. We'll find out eventually. On the line now, let's not do it now. Host of BetQL Daily and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Joe Ostrowski. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books do not want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
See, you say that, and you don't know. Joe Ostrowski could have an air fryer cookbook for
all people.
I bet
he does. I bet he does.
I mean, it's possible anyway, Joe. I don't know.
How did you guys know?
Just a guess.
We do own the air fryer. Wife uses it a lot more than I did. I do, mostly for the kids. I mean, fries, yep. It's the easiest thing. They're always requested. So, there are a few things it's pretty good for. We do own the air fryer. She gets a little too excited about it, though. I just use it once in a great while.
Fries. Also, my son likes beef jerky a lot. Like, we buy the bags of beef jerky for him for, like, snacks. And I guess you could just throw meat into the air fryer for a few hours and it dehydrates and you get jerky out of it. That's exciting.
Ooh, that's good. Tried the burger one time. That was a big fail. Never doing that again.
Yeah.
Cheese curds were awesome in there.
Okay.
That's my favorite so far.
I like that. I'm writing that down. Cheese curds. All right.
He really writes this stuff down.
How was your... I did, actually. Yes. How was your week six, with lines, with Circa, everything?
It was strong. It was a 4-1 week, so very pleased with that. Overall, you have to make 5 picks per week against the spread, and we're 21-9 on the season.
Wow.
So I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good.
That is really good, isn't it? Like, are you impressed with that?
I didn't expect to have Well, on one hand, I am. When I look at the percentage, we're hitting at a very high clip, but then if the season were to end right now, obviously it'll change once we get a larger sample size, but whatever that is, 70%, and I'm still not in the money because the person in first place is 26-4. I'm like, come on, man. 26-4. How does that even happen?
I mean, I'm thinking to myself, how does 21-9 even happen? But okay, yeah, how does 26-4 happen is also a good question. Well, good for you. Good luck. We had the Bills as a favorite go down in Tennessee outright. I wanted to ask a question about home field. We've talked about that a little bit. And in the case of that game, in Tennessee, home team wins as an underdog, but the fans were for the Bills. So, I don't know. That gets a little twisted. What did you think of that game, and where are we at with home field as far as this season goes? And, like, how... from a betting standpoint, that could be quantified.
Yeah, so I feel like we're still waiting to see if it flips at all or there's just some sort of an edge, but there isn't. It's a big fat zero in the results that we have. But as far as the betting market, it's depending on the place, a point and a half. One thing that I find interesting with Monday is So the Bills closed as 6-point favorites at Tennessee. And now we flip it forward to this week. So we have a nearly identical situation. Now, obviously, Titans coming off a big win. We'll see what their injury report looks like. A couple of their main pieces missing some practice time this week. But they are hosting against one of the top teams in the AFC. But it's not 6 points. It's at the moment, it's 4.5 against the Chiefs. So I'm wondering how much of that is the market telling us that the Bills are 1.5 better than the Chiefs, because it's one of these weird deals since they're playing same opponent and it's in the same spot.
Is there a Monday night effect?
A little bit. That's part of it. There's some people believe coming off a big win, how much is that going to linger? Of course, Henry, can he keep doing this again? A.J. Brown, Julio missing some time of practice this week. You had the Luan injury, of course. But, yeah, absolutely. It's all baked into the line, all of that stuff. But I understand putting Buffalo ahead of Kansas City. It's interesting. There are some people that make their own numbers that they believe still that you have to put Kansas City number one overall in the AFC. I just can't get there yet. And I know turnovers can be random, but I'm still not willing to put Kansas City with a few early losses as tops in the AFC right now.
So where does Baltimore fall there, in your opinion? We spent some time thinking about them. Obviously, now the Bills are behind Baltimore all of a sudden. And like, okay, what's up, Baltimore?
Sure. Yeah, well, some would still have the Bills and Kansas City ahead of Baltimore. I'm a little bit higher on the Ravens. Based on what we've seen so far, I would put them just above. I know you guys talked about it on yesterday's show. What would the point spread be? If we're talking about a neutral field, I think this is where you guys were going, that it would be a 1-point spread in favor of Baltimore. And, yeah, I'm trying not to overreact to the results of that one game on Monday. I would be in agreement there. I would put it at Baltimore minus one. I think it really gets tricky. I mean, those three teams – at the top, Baltimore, Buffalo, KC, all very close. Then we go down to the next tier, but I think you could flip-flop. It's a good debate between Cleveland and the LA Chargers. It's just how do you rate the Browns right now? Are we talking about them at full health, all the injuries that they're going to be dealing with right now? And they're on bye this week, but curious how the Chargers are going to respond after just getting thrashed last week against those Ravens. And you knew it was coming. It was going to be the first game when the third downs weren't going their way and the fourth downs weren't going their way. Staley was still super aggressive, so how are they going to respond? That'll be fascinating starting next week.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Joe, because you already said it, right? Everything's baked in. So obviously the way Baltimore's games have been going, like, and I feel like this comes out when we just talk about them. I don't talk about them in a point spread context really that often at all, outside of talking to you, but like the Ravens have been just sort of getting by until this past Sunday when they clobbered the Chargers. And, you know, some of it is spectacular, like Jackson in Indianapolis. Some of it is kind of fluky and pretty lucky, frankly, like the win in Detroit, where they shouldn't have even gotten an opportunity to kick a 66-yard field goal, but they did, and it hits the crossbar and goes over. And so, like, I've been sort of downgrading the Ravens all along. Like, whatever their record is, I'll take my chances with them because I just don't think they're going to last because they got so hurt so fast. But eventually you got to get off that if they keep winning.
Sure. Like, it looks like the majority of the coin flips that they've been in have all gone their way. Is that flukiness, or is that the coaching, some of the little things? They've already been in two overtime games. One they won, one they lost. You mentioned the Detroit one. The Kansas City game ended up being won, but when you start to break down the numbers offensively, which we all know means so much more with right. today's football, is when you go over all the numbers, they're top five in everything. Yards per play, passing yards per attempt, total success rate, they're number two in the NFL. Pass success rate, 5. Run success rate, number 5. They're explosive through the air and on the ground with Lamar Jackson. No matter how many running backs they lose, It just hasn't mattered yet. And even though we have a larger point spread with 6.5 I love this game this weekend. We're going to learn a lot about both teams between the Ravens and the Bengals. Of course, last year that was Burrow's worst performance that we've seen since he came to the NFL. The QBR was 4.2 for that game.
That game,
4.2.
Joe, what stands out to me from that game, I know I was in here, so the Bills must have been playing at the same time, but like they were careful with Joe Mixon. This is where that coach lost me forever. They were careful with Joe Mixon in that game. It was a shutout, and there were like 6 minutes left or 7 minutes left. They got the ball, and he had like 12 or 15 touches in a row, Mixon. And then he got hurt and was out for the year, even though they kept saying day-to-day all year. Like, it just what is going on there? Why would you – do you value him? Okay, fine. Now it's 30-0. You really don't need him on the field at all, yet he got the ball every play on that last drive, I guess, in a desperate attempt to not get shut out, which may have worked. Holy cow. Just what are you doing?
It might not be possible to find a bigger mismatch than John Harbaugh and Zach Taylor. If we were to draw it up, find the biggest mismatch possible, that might be it. And that's my one hesitation. I do like the Bengals getting that many points. They have a sneaky, really solid defense against the pass and the run. But that is my one concern. That game has blowout factor, but I think it'll be a one-score game. It's interesting, the winner of that game, of course, will be leading the division. And the betting market is saying, they're screaming, we don't believe in the Bengals. We know they're good. We know they're 4-2. Okay, nice job early on. But we don't believe in them because they're 10-1 to win the division, even though a win on Sunday means they're in first place.
Baltimore second in the AFC point differential. They've led the league in point differential each of the last 2 years, the whole league. This year they're second in the AFC, plus 47. The Bills first at plus 105. Yes, the schedule. When I tweeted you yesterday, by the way, in my mind, that game was in Baltimore when I was guessing like Ravens minus one, just to see how you felt about it. Joe Ostrowski from BetQL. We mentioned the Browns here who play the Broncos tonight. Cleveland 1.5 and 40. Super low. Of course, Mayfield out. What a spot the Browns are in. Consensus, we all kind of respect and like them. Tough losses this year until last week. Arizona 6-0, like they're a good team, but they got hammered in that game. Now you have Mayfield, who we talked about, we mentioned you earlier, Joe. Like we talked about Trubisky as a comp, and we had Josh Allen, and you get to that point where you're like, all right, are we going to pay this guy? And what do the Browns do? So this is the year, hey, maybe he steps up. We won a playoff game last year. Maybe we do more. The season has not started that way. He's got this injury, and they're talking about surgery eventually. What happens here?
I commend the organization for not jumping in and thinking, okay, he's going to cost us more down the line. They want to use all of this season to figure out exactly what they have, and you're right. Are we going to be sitting there at the end and saying, oh, well, he had this injury that lingered, and that's why you had much of those struggles throughout the season? It's fascinating. And as far as tonight goes, you have to keep checking Twitter. Like, I don't know who's going to be on the field.
Right.
So we've got Case Keenum going up against Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy looks great to start the season. People are high on Denver. They start out 3-0, even though it was a very easy schedule. Now they wake up, they're 3-1. He hasn't covered the last three games. But historically, I mean, his numbers are off the charts if you believe in trends as a road underdog. He's 23-4 against the spread in his career as a road underdog, and that's the spot we have here tonight. They're down to RB3. It sounds like Wills will play at tackle, that Conklin's a no-go. Treader, the center, is questionable. So I'm not thrilled to watch this game. The conditions are going to be a factor, it appears. They're saying 15-mile-per-hour winds, gusts up to 30. So I understand why it's such a low, low total, hanging around 40 here. That makes sense. I certainly expect Denver to bring a conservative attack with their running backs.
I would like to bet that there will be at least 11 sacks in this game.
Oh.
Can I get that anywhere? 11, just a random number there, kind of. But can't you see, like you mentioned, some of the line problems? Can't you see Teddy Bridgewater? Can't you see Myles Garrett sacking Teddy Bridgewater 5 times in this game? Like,
I already saw that against Justin Fields this year. Why are you bringing me back?
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and he can move.
Yeah, Exactly. No, I can absolutely see that. Yeah, certainly. And so Garrett, much of the year, especially after that Bears game, he became the favorite for the Defensive Player of the Year award. And then that flipped during the Cowboys game.
Yes.
This past Sunday. Then all of a sudden, people started betting on Diggs as that pick six. And then he became the favorite. That'll be a fun race to watch.
Yes. How does MVP look? So when we talked about this probably last week, I wrote about this last week, I mentioned Derrick Henry as the 10th choice at 40-1 because maybe the quarterbacks can kind of cancel each other out and he puts up another historic year. Did his number move?
It did. There were some places that brought it down from around 50-1 down to 20-1. Which is an extreme overreaction. That's what's going to happen when you do it on national TV. You're on the island game, and just, you know, he has an unbelievable performance like that. I understand the case. I just don't think it's going to happen. Just the quarterbacks mean so much. The numbers are just so extreme right now. I just don't see it happening unless he's the guy carrying them and he just crushes, not only sets every record. The records are going to be set by him as long as he stays healthy. But he would just have to just demolish everything. Kyler Murray is now your favorite for the MVP. One Henry number did stand out to me, though, this week. He already has 10 rushing touchdowns on the season, and that is 5 more than anybody else in the league.
Sam Darnold.
Some quarterbacks. Yeah, Darnold has 5. And, man, yeah, Zeke has 5. James Conner, he's also in there at 5. Ooh, we've got a 5-touchdown lead, and there are some books that have put it at even money for Henry to finish as the rushing touchdown leader. Outside of an injury very soon, I don't know how he doesn't win that.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, when I said has the line moved, it wasn't because I wrote something. I was thinking of the game.
Little column A, little column B. Yeah.
These conversations, you know, they pop up into my head, you know, that we're having together these Thursdays, Joe. Watching Allen try to get that first down on the third down scramble out to the left of the formation there, and then not getting the sneak. Like those moments, I mentioned this, I think, probably on Tuesday at some point on our show. I was thinking about the MVP when that game ended. Because, like you're saying, it's Monday Night Football, and if Allen, you know, in this crazy game with 7 to that point lead changes, is largely responsible, if not literally responsible, he's going to run in the winning touchdown, too, on top of that crazy airborne attempt at the first down and then the sneak. But if that all goes his way or their way, like, I wonder, I don't know that his number would move because it was already really, really good to begin with, but I feel like his candidacy could have been inflated if they'd finished that drive off.
I think you're right. Now, I did see on Tuesday morning on TV at some spot they were saying that he slipped because he didn't have Taylor Lewan blocking
yes.
for him because of the injury during the game. But yeah, you get that comeback victory at the very end, final seconds, aggressive move by the coach. Yeah, the momentum would be too much. I mean, remember going into the game, I would say the consensus was that the Bills are the best team. And now, okay, the defense doesn't perform like we were seeing heading into that game. But that's okay because we still have Josh Allen, Superman, in the end. He sneaks it in with 20 seconds or even fewer seconds left than that. Absolutely. He'd be right there probably with Kyler.
You know, may I say something about that mistake made by Chris Broussard? That was weird to me about that. So, like, I mean, I've made a million mistakes. Bulldog has made almost as many. I don't want to be, you know, be insensitive here, but we're talking every day, all day. Like, of course, mistakes get made. What's weird to me about that one is, who knows the name Taylor Lewan without knowing what team he's on? Like, who knows linemen, but not what team they're on, right? Like, how does somebody actually practically make that mistake? Where probably somebody told him, right, or something? Like, I don't know. I don't know the guy. I have no opinion of the guy. But it's just so strange. You know, I feel like I learned a long time ago because you're trying to get in. This is a guy who's been in the business a long time. You're trying to get in, and sometimes you can fake it. You can get caught. I'm going to show off a little bit. I know this person. Really, I'm not saying anything of substance, but I'm going to show you that I know their names. And that's kind of what that sounded like. But how do you know the name of the lineman without knowing he's on Tennessee? That was what was weird. That's what made that sort of, there are mistakes, and then that seems like maybe you're trying too hard.
That's exactly what was my takeaway. There are a lot of people that are saying it's the most embarrassing moment they've ever seen. No, it's not going that far. But he's known as the basketball guy, and he's trying to prove that he knows the trenches. He knows some of the details in the game or how impactful certain guys are that not everybody's talking about, the non-skill position players. He's trying to impress, and somebody probably mentioned that injury, mentioned that name, and just he forgot, oh, wait, wrong team.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just don't bother. Well, I guess that was his position. That's why the play didn't work. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I certainly feel bad for anybody that gets embarrassed like that because it's definitely happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go, Joe, anything on the baseball playoffs? These are really good series.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd be here, right? With the Braves up 3-1,
right.
and people that are betting this. Don't believe it. Like every day. I mean, the Dodgers were over minus 200 yesterday. The Braves were plus 214. And with Julio Urias on the mound, we didn't know what to expect from him. He had pitched Sunday night coming out of the bullpen, so he wasn't expected to go too long in that game. But people just continue to expect the Dodgers to bounce back. And maybe we've gone too far. When you have a best of seven, and a team is up 3-1, 84% of the time, the team winning is going to bounce back. So now, rather, team winning is going to finish them off.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the underdog, the Dodgers, they're plus 350. And my reaction to that is, well, that's not enough. It should be much higher for a team in this spot. Backs up against the wall. Now they've got to win three consecutive games. But, looking at probably Atlanta. I mean, Houston obviously has the edge because they're up three games to two over Boston. Interesting note from the AL side, every game has gone over. Some of them low-scoring games late, and then all of a sudden offense just explosion from one of the two teams between the Red Sox and Astros. So all of those games have been going over. It'll be fascinating. I'm sure TV networks probably don't want Atlanta to make Atlanta probably be the worst case scenario for them.
Best price you'll get on the Dodgers, even with what you're saying, which I don't disagree with. You know, that's the best team. So, and they did it last year. You know, we've talked about it. Like, I never want to bet a baseball favorite because, come on, you know, like the Nationals could win a series against the Dodgers in the playoffs. Any team could do it. Who do I want for that? The Orioles. Is that going too far? Could the Orioles beat the Dodgers? Yes. It's baseball. Yes. They probably
would. Well, I mean, just look at the Braves. So people were high on them coming into the season. They're one game away, and they lost their best player in the middle of the season. And
yes, right.
At one point, they were 35-40-1 right after the trade deadline. So everybody wrote them off. Oh, look, the Phillies are looking good. Mets are looking good. No. Then with a bunch of acquisitions, they bounced back. A guy like Jock Peterson, they're calling it Jocktober. So, yeah, I think that adds to your point there about the unpredictability of baseball.
You just don't know which dog it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Joe, always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Talk next week.
Thank you. Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more of Joe's analysis. Just search BetQL wherever you find your podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.